Excuse me. Okay, the last time we were here, we were trying to get through the whole armor of God. And we really just started touching on, we left off at verse 15. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Verses 10 through 18. And it reads as follows. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 15. And I'll read verse 15 again. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now here, the Lord is talking about our feet. And our feet also has something on it. Now, we wear our shoes on our feet. Horses have horseshoes, okay? And we have shoes on our feet. And so this word shod means, the way the Lord uses it, it means to bind on. So he's talking about the gospel. So we need to bind on the gospel to our feet. See, our feet, wherever we go, the gospel goes if we have it bound onto our feet. So let's take a look at how God uses this word shod, our feet shod, and then we'll get back to the word feet. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Okay, Mark chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod, there's that word, with sandals, and not put on two coats. Okay, so as the Lord sent them out, so he sends us out. So they were sent out with the gospel, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the gospel. He came to be the gospel. Let's take another look at another way that the word is used. Let's look in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, it's not used as shod. It's not translated as shod there, but we're going to see how God uses that. Now, I'm going to start reading. It's found in three of the verses that's in this one chapter here. Okay, we're going to start reading from the beginning. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This word bound is the same word as bind on or shod that God uses here in Mark chapter 6 and also in Ephesians. This is the connection here. Okay, the connection here is, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Now, what is the way he's talking about? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's the way of Christ. If he found anyone that was in this particular way, okay, that he would bind them unto, bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see, he was under orders from the chief priest. They gave him the authority to do these things. Now, you have to understand, this was before the Apostle Paul was saved. His name was Saul when he was doing this. So he was a devout a Pharisee. He thought he was doing the right thing, but in actuality, we'll find out later on that he was doing the wrong thing. And so let's take another look at another word in this same situation, and it's down in verse 14, but I'm going to start reading in verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here, he hath authority from the chief priest to bind, there's that word, it's translated bind here, to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, he says, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You see, the ones that call on his name were, I would have to say, Christians. They were called Christians. So these are people that are following the Lord. Now, they could be, I would have to say, they were probably saved individuals, but we don't know exactly. But we do know that they are the ones that call on his name. Do you call on his name? Do you carry his name with you? If you're a Christian, then you carry his name with you. And if you carry his name with you, guess what? What's going to happen is you're going to be persecuted. Remember the Lord Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. And so we are connected to his name. We're connected to him by his name. If we name his name. Now, sometimes you might have a conversation with someone and, you may not mention the Lord Jesus' name. Now this was, you know, like let's say early in your Christian life, you know, when you first started reading the Bible and knowing more and more about Christ, you were maybe just a little timid about mentioning the Lord's name, and then after the conversation is over, someone may have been listening. They says, you know what? I'm a Christian too. And then it hits you. Wow. You know, I should be a little more bolder in saying things about the Lord Jesus. We have to be conscious of the fact that, hey, there's an opportunity here, and the Lord will create that opportunity for us. You know, He'll give us that boldness to step forward and just really, you know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or anything. Just tell what the Lord has done for you. Okay, but let's keep going. And there's one more other place in this account here in Acts chapter 9. And it's in verse 21, but we're going to start reading at verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound? This is the word again. Bring them bound unto the chief priest. You see, no matter, even though Paul, at this time, his name was Saul, even though he was such a, I would have to say it like this, such a sinner, because he said it himself, I'm the chief sinner, because he did what he was doing to the churches as they were coming up, the people of God. And so, how about us? How about me? How about you? We can look back on our lives and we can say, man, how can the Lord use me? How can I all of a sudden be doing one thing and now I'm doing something else? And then your friends that were with you when you were doing the something else, they see you and they say, well, what happened to you? How is it that now you're talking about Christ now? But before you weren't doing it, just like the thief on the cross. He was railing against the Lord. And then the Lord saved him. And he said to the other thief, don't you fear God? Out the clear blue. So God can save an individual if you are a chosen vessel. If you're chosen, now you may not have to expound from the Bible or different things like that, but there are many, many different things that can happen. We're no different than anyone else. We're just common folk. Amos, he was a sheep herder. Okay. Let's move on. Let's look at this word feet. Let's turn to Nahum. The book of Nahum is right after Micah, but just before you get to Habakkuk. It's right in between there. And it's only three chapters. Very tiny book. But just as powerful as any other book in the Bible. In Nahum chapter 1 and in verse 15, he says, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Now, this word feet, the way it's being used here, is used to bring good tidings. It's talking about the gospel. We bring the gospel to our friends. We bring the gospel to someone that we may meet, to our family. We bring the gospel. And so he says here, he says, the mouth at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Now here, the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 6, he uses the word gospel in connection with peace, the gospel of peace. Now, why would he use it as being the gospel of peace? Why didn't he just say the gospel? Because, you see, before we were saved, we were at war with God. Remember, this is a warfare, you see. It's set up like a warfare. Remember we were saying that we got drafted in the army. If you're saved, you got drafted. You were those dead bones in the desert. You were dust. And the Lord drafted you in his army. And so we were at war with God. Now we're at peace with God. You see, the Bible condemned us. The Bible was our enemy. It condemned us. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but once we become saved, now the Bible is our friend. We love it. We don't care what you read in it, where you read it. If it's about hellfire, if it's about anything that's drastic and all, we just love to hear it. Because we know it's God's word. And so now we have this peace now. We have a peace, this peace. If you're saved, if God has truly saved you, you have a peace now that passeth all understanding. People can't understand. How come you don't worry about this? Why don't you worry about that? Because, like I heard earlier, your affections are not down here. They're not down here. They're in heaven. We were thinking about those things. And so, all right, let's take a look at another verse here. Let's look at Isaiah 52. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter 52, and we're going to look at verse 7. And this is basically a quote from the one that we have just read in Nahum. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that setteth unto Zion, thy God reigneth." You see, it's all in the Bible. God is saying the same thing. This is a quote from Nahum. How beautiful upon the mountains. Okay, and he's talking about the tidings that we bring. Okay, it's peace. But see, there's a two-sided coin, though. It's not just peace. It's not just peace. Now, when you give someone the gospel, you must tell them about the judgment of God. You see, you must tell them about God's judgment. Otherwise, your witness is not good for anything. The salt has lost its savor. Unless you tell them about the salt, the judgment of God, then your witness is good for nothing but to be thrown down and trodden on. All right, we're going to look at one more verse. It's in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, he says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's take a look at this phrase in verse 16, where he's talking about Isaiah said it, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And that's in Isaiah 53. Let's go to Isaiah 53. And in verse 1, it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, this is the report of the Lord, his word. This is his report. Do you believe it? If you do believe it, then the Lord has stretched his arm out and caused you to believe. Now, this is such a beautiful chapter where it talks about the gospel. It's only a few verses, but I would like to read that. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Here is the gospel. Here is the report that is mentioned here. God wants to know who hath believed our report. Who have believed? If you have believed his report, which is the whole Bible, this is just a portion of the report, then God has revealed himself to you. Remember when, it just brings to mind, remember when Peter says, not Peter, the Lord first of all says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And his disciples, one was saying, Peter says, well, some say you're Elias. Some say you're a great prophet. And then he said to him, but whom do you say that I am? Now it's a personal thing. Whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father that's in heaven. So if you know who the Lord Jesus is, it's the Father that's in heaven that has revealed him to you. And so, and that's only because your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And so, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now let's take a look at this word preparation. Now this word is only found one time, and that's right here in this verse as preparation. But it has attached to it another word. It's translated as prepare, prepared, and make ready. All right, let's just take a look at a couple of them in Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And I'll just read verses 1 to 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, here's that word, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. This word prepare is the same word that God used as preparation here. It's translated prepare. Let's look at another one that's translated a different way. Let's look in the Old Testament in Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. That's not the verse that I want. I tell you what, let's just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll start reading at verse 9. And we're looking for this word prepared. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm going to keep reading. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay, that's the word prepared there. You see, now you get a sense of how this word is used is the preparation of the gospel. God has prepared himself for the gospel. Now, how are we putting the Lord Jesus in this? Well, let's take a look at John 14. And there is translated as make ready. John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see, the Lord Jesus was on his way to the cross. And so, in order for us to be where he is, he had to prepare the place. And because he had to prepare the place, he had to go to the cross to prepare the place for us in heaven. Because that's where he is. He is in heaven. So therefore, he was on his way to prepare the place. He was on his way to the cross. And by him going to the cross, it prepared a place. If you are saved, if you belong to the Lord, he was preparing a place for you and for me. Okay? So let's look at, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and take a look at verse 16. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Now, this word shield is only translated right here as shield. And you're going to be surprised the other place where this, the different translations that it is. And we're just going to go right into it. Let's go to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, this same word for shield. Now, shield is what protects you. Well, who is it that protects us? Who is this shield? Now, here it's not translated as shield. It's translated as door. And in John chapter 10, he says, in verse 1, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then down here in verse 9, in John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So the Lord Jesus, he's our shield. He's the door. So therefore, he is our shield. The shield is what protects us, right? From the fiery darts of the wicked one. Of the wicked, I'm sorry, not wicked one, wicked. So, you see how this verse 16, this shield, how it points to the Lord Jesus. Now, it also has, in the verse, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, and surely that must be my faith. It must be my faith. Something I have a strong faith. I have weak faith. You've heard those terms before. But let's see what the Bible has to say about whose faith it is. Let's turn in the Old Testament. Let's go to Habakkuk. Now that's right next to Nahum. It's right next to Nahum. sometimes it's hard to find if you don't. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Not right next to it. Back it. It's right next to it. Okay, let's see. Okay, we got it. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, okay. There we are. Okay, in chapter 2 and in verse 4, God tells us, he says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Now, we still don't really know whose faith it is. Could it be talking about your faith as the his? No. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 2. I think it makes it a lot clearer. It's starting to get clearer now. Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now we see whose faith it is. It's Christ's faith. It's his faith. Let's take a look at, we'll look at one more in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, and he found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Well, there it is again. The Lord is telling us that it's Christ's faith. It's not our faith. It's Christ's faith. And so this shield is Christ, because he's the door. And then it talks about the shield of faith. So it's Christ's faith. He's the one that is going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now we see what it is. So this weapon, we don't manufacture these things. These things are given to us with salvation. Because everything points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look at this fiery dart to the wicked. Let's just take a look at this word fiery. Now, it's only translated here as fiery. But in 2 Peter, let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 12, it says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, that's the word that's translated as fiery here in Ephesians chapter 6, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, this is talking about the last day. This is the last day wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay, let's take another look and see how God is using this word fiery again. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, it's translated as tried right here. As tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, gold tried in the fire. You see, God speaks of us as silver and gold, the believers, as silver and gold. And we are tried in the fire. We are tried in the fire. So the Lord, what he does is he takes us through some things. You see, we have trials and tribulations. In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. The Lord has told us already, we're going to have those things. We're going to have trials. We're going to have them. Okay, but they're designed to strengthen us, though. All the different trials that we have and the things that we go through, God has designed them to strengthen us. To strengthen us, to make us stronger, to cause us to trust him more and more and more, that we might trust him more and more and more. Okay, now let's go to the Old Testament now and see some things about this word fiery. Let's take a look at the Numbers. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. And there's an account here in the book of Numbers 21. Numbers 21. It's just a few verses. Numbers chapter 21. And I'll start reading at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. See, the light bread was the manna that God had given them, but they didn't want that. See, the manna was a type of the gospel. You see, God, the Lord Jesus, I'm that bread that came down from heaven, he said. You see? And so, but they didn't want that. They didn't want God's gospel. They wanted their own gospel. And so that's the spiritual. And the Lord sent, because they did that, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That's the gospel right there. The gospel. Because the serpent The fiery serpent depicts God as the judge, because he was judging the people because they were talking against him, Moses and the Lord. And so God sent these fiery serpents there to them, but Moses prayed for him. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who made intercession for us. And so he's telling them, if you make a serpent and put it on a pole, and then when the people are bitten, because they know they was going to die, because they had been dying before, and if you look to it, then you'll live. And then the Lord picks this up again in John chapter 3. He just gives us a couple verses. But the same situation, he just kind of picks it up for us here in John chapter 3. And just look at the content, the context, where he has set this account down in. In John chapter 3. And then starting in verse 14, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." That's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel. And this is in the Old Testament where we got this from. And so you may hear from time to time people say the gospel was not in the Old Testament. They'll tell you that over and over again. But in Hebrews, let's take a look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to just look at this. Hebrews chapter 4. But I'm going to start reading right at the end, near the end of Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 16. It says, verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 3, and then I'll go right into chapter 4. He says, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it." You see, they had the gospel, or we just took a look at the gospel in the Old Testament. Now, it may not have been as clear as it is in the New Testament, but they had the gospel. And so God has put his word all over the Old Testament, the gospel. The whole Bible is the gospel. It's written of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to read one other account with this word fiery. And it's located in the book of Daniel. I'm sure that you've probably read it many, many times. It's the book of Daniel. And it's chapter 3. Chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. And we're going to read about these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Starting at verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." That's that word fiery. "Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackcloth, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made all decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at that time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now, this account that God has put here is a very, very interesting account, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they represent the children of God. They represent the children of God, just like we are the children of God. We're going to be persecuted for standing up for what the Bible has to say. But if you notice, when Nebuchadnezzar called out, first he said he saw 4 in the fire, but he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out. But the Lord didn't come out. There's no mention of him coming out of the furnace. You see, he had to stay because he had to take the punishment that his children were supposed to take in the judgment. And that's why in Revelations we see him depicted as when he's described as the Lamb of God, where his hair is white, his eyes are flaming fire, his feet was like brass, as if he was in a burning furnace, as if they had been burned in a furnace. His feet was like brass. And so the Lord Jesus has taken the punishment that we should have taken, that we should have got. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for your precious, precious word. Lord, let us be examples, Lord. Let us trust because they trusted in you. Lord, give us that trust, Lord. You put us in different situations, Lord, so that our trust would be strengthened in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you watch over us, you care for us, and you keep us. We thank you again and again for your goodness and your wonderful grace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.